This is episode 248. It's a $300 Dynacomp.
It's a very high energy episode. No, wait. It's not. I forgot. It's a very low energy episode of the tone. Oh, no. We're all worn out and tired.
It's like somebody just ran a compressor a little too hard over the whole thing.
Just flattened out our whole shit.
Yep.
No, it was a good one. It's a good one. Welcome to the Tone Control. It's going to be great. You're in good hands. It's fucking stupid.
Welcome to the party!
Hello, Justin.
Hello, Derek.
I decided when I was coming up the stairs to get ready to podcast, I was going to greet you that way. I don't know why. I just thought it'd be fun. Hello, Justin.
We're going to say names now, 10 years in.
Could you imagine?
If we were really like that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm. It's another Monday, another tone. This is fake energy. This is...
Hey, at least one of us has some, whether it's fake or not. It.
Yes, dude. Mondays are tough this semester.
Bro.
Dude, like, and I can say that now because I have something to do with semesters, you see.
Cool.
Now, as an instructor.
As a professor.
Professor, yes. But no, it's actually, it's not even me. It's just like Mondays, and especially the Tone Control Mondays are the same Mondays that our daughter goes to see her counselor. And it's just like, we're down to the wire, and like wife gets home, and every time on Monday, it's like, oh, my last client, like really, we were having a breakthrough and she stayed a few extra minutes and all this stuff. And it's like, oh my God. I eat food. I basically like burn my mouth because I'm like, gotta get to tone control time.
Because we have a kid and like he goes to bed kind of at the time we would like to eat dinner, it means we usually end up eating pretty late.
So
we managed to be on pretty good on timing wise tonight, but I've had the busiest, friggin' wildest Monday. Just the Monday vibe was strong today.
And it was.
My work week is pretty full, and my evenings are pretty full. So it's just kind of a short run through Wednesday of this week of like, I guess I'll just see my wife later, you know?
Right, exactly. It's like,
I guess she'll just be around later.
You're going to do things, and who knows? Someday it'll be different than this.
So tonight's podcast night, like I'm home, obviously, but like, you know, we're up here for a little bit. And then tomorrow I'm going to see Sleep Token
in Worcester.
Right. So like...
That'll probably suck. You'll probably be just so pissed.
There's no way I'll enjoy it. And then Wednesday we have band rehearsal, so I'll be there.
Yeah.
And then Thursday maybe I'll be home, I guess, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And speaking of teaching, I got my first teaching assignment today.
Oh, all right.
Or I got it last Friday, I should say. But I'll be teaching in our late October through mid-December term.
That's quite a specific term.
We have six terms a year.
You have six terms. Okay. I was going to say we're really breaking it down. Yeah.
Yeah. We have six and they're not semesters. Their terms are accelerated. It's that whole thing of, it's half as long. So it's 8 weeks and starts right before Halloween, right before my birthday and stuff. And goes through, just sort of a couple of weeks before Christmas time. So yeah, man.
And is that like 3 credit hours or are they doing? Okay. So they're just, I know we talked about this before, but like, they're just like cramming.
Yeah. Term. I mean, thanks Mike for the congrats on the teaching gig. I appreciate that. I'm nervous and excited and stuff. And I had a day today of like, all I want to do is really get ready for that. You know, I got plenty of time, but it's all I want to spend my time on because it's like fresh and in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do work. I don't want to do my job. I want to do this other thing. I want to get ready. I want to like prepare and make planners and stuff. And I don't want to practice Toto songs, but I do, but I should, but you know, but I got to do this other thing. And so just busy, busy, busy it all is, around.
It's a new level, right? Of, because you and I both have like worked from home for a while. So like we mm-hmm. figured out, we established a routine of how to schedule and motivate yourself and how to organize yourself. And now this is this extra thing.
Yeah.
I find that about, and that's Mondays now. Like I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays and I can't help but plan my week on Mondays, no matter how long it takes. I'm just like, I have to sort of go through the whole thing or I can't concentrate on anything else because it's not like I'll be here working on something and feel, oh shoot, this ran long. I'm going to have to fix this. It's performance. It's I'm there. And if I screw it up or if I didn't do something right, or if I forgot something, it's like, I've got 13 or 14 people staring at me, watching
right,
me
do waiting, that. Waiting for like, you to fix it. Yeah,
you're the one who my tuition is paying to teach me this stuff. Why don't you know the answer to this question? Is like what's going on in my head every time.
part of the reason I got my master's degree was to pursue something like this.
Right.
So part of me, I owe it to myself to at least try.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and the money's good and stuff. So like right on, you know, that'll feel nice. And if it blows, then like, hey, at least I did it and I don't have to do anything else about it ever again. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be everyone I know who does it says it's really fulfilling and really, they just really enjoy it. So,
yeah, I really enjoy all the education discounts on stuff that I need to buy for work. That's nice.
a little life hack. Start teaching everybody.
Hey, everybody, pick up 3 credit hours and then just keep doing the rest of your life as normal. It's great. Things cost a lot less in many ways.
Excuse me.
That's not really significant. No. But anyway.
What else is going on?
I mean, I don't know.
So it was really busy today and it turned into one of those days where I'm like, man, I'm so wiped. There's so much to do and so much on my mind. I need to take 5, but I don't have 5 to take. And it turns into like, I just got to keep going and kind of dislike it. You know, I have to manage that whole thing. And I don't have the kind of job that is a very high demand, like minute by minute or hour by hour. So I can usually take a little bit of time to just like decompress, even if it's the middle of the day. I have that luxury. And to this week does not seem like I'm going to have that. So I don't know. There's lots of meetings and stuff, lots of calendar time. Mm-hmm. So it turns into like, when am I going to do all the work we talk about in these meetings?
When do I get a break from these meetings so I can do some of the work that was discussed?
So I can do some GD work, you
in
know?
Meeting.
Yeah. So that's what's going on.
So obviously, you prepare, you know, we prepared a ton of material for the podcast considering everything we talked about. So obviously that's
the thing. Yeah. As usual, I messaged Justin this morning and I was like, hey, don't have anything for the show tonight, as usual.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I don't have anything for the show tonight is because last week I was at Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service tour.
Okay.
In Portland. And it kicked so much ass. It was
speaking of
amazingly,
hardworking people, apparently.
Oh, God. It was so special. Like, it was just so such a great moment in time, I guess. I don't even know how else to call it.
Yeah.
There was an opener and I'm blanking on her name, Lauren Mayberry from Churches. I believe that's her name. Churches is the band that she's in there from Scotland. And she was great. Did an awesome cover of a Madonna song, which I really liked. Death Cab came out to sort of start the headline. And I keep kind of losing Justin during this. And I feel like it's on me to sort of keep talking.
Just keep, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying anything.
I don't know. There he is. Okay. No, there he is. Okay. Death Cab came out and an awesome stage setup. They had this sort of like, you know, like a bandstand where it's tiered.
Sure.
They had like two tiers. There was the stage level and then one more up, but there was stairs running alongside the drums and stuff and they could kind of, but it was very linear, very horizontal looking. And there were lights on like outward facing on each of the levels of these thin strips. And it was very cool, very sleek. And it just looked fabulous. So, Death Cab comes out in all black. and their guitar cables and instrument cables are red. Very much akin to Transatlanticism. The artwork for the 20-year anniversary of this record, the crow in all black.
20 years?
20 years, dude.
I mean, I know I'm an old ass crusty man, but like,
so that's what this
things
tour
like that
is,
keep hitting. 20 year things keep coming up. Steam is 20 years old. Like this week, a bunch of Steam accounts from like first weekers, which I'm not sure if I'm first week, but I am. I have a very short digit Steam user number. So, but just all kinds of things I keep hearing about, and I feel like this has happened to everybody when you get to a certain age and like.
Yeah.
People just start talking about stuff like this, right?
Yeah. So Transatlanticism and Give Up by the Postal Service both came out in 2003, and which is crazy to think about when you put that together. But so it was the 20 year of both, and they played both records front to back. So what happened was Death Cab comes out. They do Transatlanticism. They look sharp as hell. The red cables, like what a fantastic detail. And then a 15-minute intermission, basically. It wasn't even because there's
pee break.
Pee break. And then, pee break and costume change. Right. The Postal Service comes out all in white.
Ah.
a little bit of a stage rearrangement, not much. There was only 15 minutes in between. Ben Gibbard's like, we'll see you in 15 minutes. And so they come out, and the Postal Service was extraordinary. Every now and then when I'm at a show, I try to remember to take a moment to look around at the people and kind of see what people are doing. And if they're just like, are they present? Are they taking pictures or whatever people are doing? For the Postal Service set, I've never seen a crowd more joyous and happy and just super present in the moment, really enjoying themselves, really enjoying their time. And the place just like erupted when they came out and, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're the Postal Service. And the place shook. It was insane. Really, really fun set. Of course, it's the whole record. They covered a Depeche Mode song at the end, which was very cool. Ben is like jumping up and down between the drum kit and guitar and vocals and stuff. So he's playing like a full drum kit for part of the set and friggin' killing it, by the way. Trying to think of what else. It was just like, it's one of those things. This sounds really hippy dippy, but you're like, wow, I'm experiencing something that is like truly special. Like there's something here about this that is a moment in time that I'm going to really hold on to. So it was just great. I'm pretty sure the whole tour is sold out. So I'm not going to say go if you can, because it's too late.
Go get scalped. Yeah.
Yeah. But I picked up Transatlanticism on vinyl here. It's a very cool, like forest green record. And yeah, it kicked much, much butt.
Awesome. Awesome.
And now the opposite of that, Sleep Token, tomorrow.
Which will kick butt. But it is a little bit opposite-ic.
Yeah. It's at the Palladium.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. I've been there. Well, I've been there, sir.
Yeah. But super fun time. Go see your bands. I know I said this last time. Go see your favorite bands. Have good favorite bands and go see them.
Derek's doing it. Don't you want to be like Derek? Come on.
You better not. this is Sleep Token's going to be my last show for a while. I've decided.
Is that enough?
It's just getting harder for a little while until Jack is older.
Yeah, yeah. The cup overfloweth.
Yeah. And while I'm there, I'm like, oh man, I needed this.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth the hassle, but it's also getting out the door and stuff and the logistics of it all with a little one is. Mm-hmm. Not easy. So,
right. Plus, it's like hard to tell is he even going to like Sleep Token? I mean, probably.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not a dummy, but like you don't know until you get there. Right. And you see his face when they come out.
Oh, he lights up every time.
Right. He's like, fuck yeah. And you're like, that was his first word.
His first words are fuck yeah. God. I'm pretty sure he said no today, which was like, oh great.
Of course. that never happens in people's stories about their kids. It only happens in sitcoms and reality.
What, saying no?
Yeah, with or kids, saying kids fuck first, yeah. Kids' first words being no.
Yeah.
In the stories parents tell, it's always like, oh, you know, da da. And then in sitcoms, it's like, no, throw something across the room. And in reality, no, throw something across the room.
Yeah. 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 So that's what's up here, man.
Yeah. Cool. I haven't been to any shows. I haven't, I don't know. We haven't done anything. We've just been go, go, go this semester since I finished our California trip. So,
yeah,
but that's cool. It's all good. I recorded some kick-ass stuff yesterday. The band was here slowly chewing through the overdubs on their song. So I think we got one more to go, but we basically like, we're doing these like Sunday afternoons. Lot of guitar solo, just
cool.
Right. Kind of writing it in the moment kind of situation. Oh, we spent a good, almost 2 hours working on this one solo.
Were you guys like in it the whole time? Was it getting frustrating?
And it's not like me really, like I'm trying to help and advise a little bit, but it's my guy there, like kind of doing his thing. And I'm just trying to be an aid to that. But yeah, I mean, we worked it out. It's
cool.
It seems grueling. So I say congrats to him. but yeah,
yeah.
Getting stuff laid down. It's really kick-ass guitar tones. Still coming out of this, UAD Engel Savage 120 model.
Cool.
It was there as our sort of in-place guitar thing, but, you know, after recording with it for maybe like a half an hour, he was like, ah, I'm not going to bring my amp over here.
Yeah, I mean, so when you guys are done, could you play some of it on the show?
Oh, yeah. They probably wouldn't mind if I played some of it on the show right now. It's just not, it's dry. It's like not mixed.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, let's wait till you're in a place to share.
I don't want to whip out the totally dry out of the room drums and stuff right now, but
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Keep us posted.
I will. Yeah, for sure.
What are they called?
Eisengeist.
Oh, cool. I think I've heard you talk about them before.
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't put it in the show notes, but I'm going to mention, I guess for the last time, get on our newsletter.
It actually doesn't matter. I mean, get on our newsletter, but by the time this episode comes out, we've picked it. We're picking it Wednesday.
No.
No, am I wrong?
On the 20th. You got one more week.
I've got another week. Whew. I don't know. I don't have any concept of time. You're right, Derek. That's absolutely correct. Get on the newsletter. This is the last call. Because as this episode comes out, we will be picking the winner in 2 days from that Monday. So basically, and we did this on purpose because we are wanting for this last episode to come out, and any of those stragglers, any of you stragglers out there that aren't in the running can go ahead and make sure that you are in the running, because the episode's going to come out and you've got about 48 hours to get in there, and then we're going to be drawing a random number from all of the mailing list subscribers, and they are going to receive this Yamaha Revstar that Derek is dancing around so elegantly. Ah.
Tis a guitar.
In Tone Control Blue, a custom Yamaha color that they made just for us.
Yes, a definite true fact.
It's a true fact that Yamaha is very proud of, and I don't think is that big a deal. But Yamaha
very
really,
gracious of them.
Yeah, they are pretty worked up about it. So I guess I'll mention it.
Yeah. At first they wanted to put it on a motorcycle and we were like, love that, but could we pivot?
Yeah, actually. And I don't mind if it goes on a motorcycle second. It's just better for our brand, I think, if we start with a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's like, you know, do what you want. We're not gonna try to hold them down. We're not like some, you know, 1985 record company. Come on.
Get on the newsletter. And I honestly haven't sent another one since like we updated. I'll probably send one soon because they're the final giveaway bundle has been assembled. And it's a good one.
Yeah, and besides the guitar, contains cables from Rattlesnake Cables. And
that's right.
Strings. There is a pedal from Copper Sound, which is one of his new jobbies, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to post a pic.
Why can't I throw that in the chat?
It's the kingpin.
The kingpin. Oh, here we go. Here's the everything. We're going to do an open in browser here and just put it right on the screen. Here we go. The kingpin.
Look at that.
One of his brand new little fun mini guys. And it looks like he's throwing in also a flashlight.
That's right.
There's, wait, what do we got? String tape, right? And then the whiteout from, I'm handy. Looking at a tiny little thing, handy. I thought it said handy yeah. FX. Yeah, with the lightning bolt handy was fooling FX. Me. Yeah, from Derek's personal collection, as I understand.
Correct, yeah.
About handy to be your personal collection, dear winner.
That's right. It makes they make this very cool fuzz face in a couple different variants, and they have a whiteout and a blackout. You can win the whiteout. So, right. Get on it.
Yeah. So, do that. We are going to pull that on Wednesday at some point. And oh, yeah. Then we will notify the winner, and then we will notify everybody else.
Excellent. And
yeah. Yeah.
I hope you all win. Like, I'm genuinely excited for all of this.
But Derek,
I mean, you can't all win, can't but happen. Like, you know, I know, like, I'm excited for whoever the winner is. Like, it almost, yeah. I don't care who it is, because I'm just still so excited that someone in our community will have this stuff. So,
yeah, yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Cool. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. I'm glad we get to do it.
A cool thing.
We should split it into 10 different winners. So, would it be
like, enough stuff?
Would it be like the Stanley Cup? Would it just like drive around? Would it just get mailed around the country? Or do we have to cut the guitar up, you know?
Like, you get a fret, you get a fret, you get a tuning key, you get a pickup screw, you get a strap button. Somebody, because this is a set neck guitar, somebody will get the actual guitar. But it's got no frets on it.
We just pulled off all the pieces we could.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get the binding. Is there binding on it? I can't even remember. No,
there's no binding. No.
There's no binding. I had to look. Oh, never mind. Never mind. No. You get a stripe. So stupid.
Okay. Should we talk about plugins?
Oh my God. Is this really what this is? I didn't even look at this. I just pulled it up. Oh no, it is. Okay. Hold on. No, I got to do a little.
Justin, are you okay? Like, what was that?
I'm about to have a little.
About to have a moment.
So a quick sound. Simple one, because, you know.
Wampler Latitude or Loma? Well,
that's exactly what it is. Wampler Latitude. You did.
Latitude.
You did it correct. Okay. I honestly, I pulled this window up because it was in the show notes. I didn't even look at it. So that's a plug-in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plug-in, my dude. What the
fuck? Based on.
Yeah.
Well, Strymon Deco is a guitar pedal.
Yeah. No, right. I mean, obviously, but this is a plug-in. A plug-in version of a pedal.
Which is a pedal version of...
Which is a pedal version of a...
A tape saturator and double tracker.
Which is something
like, a reel-to-reel machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess that effect technically didn't originate as a plug-in, although it's definitely a plug-in nowadays.
It definitely... Like, of course. Yeah, it
didn't originate as a guitar pedal. Nobody's doing this with two tape machines. Yeah.
Yeah. I get your vibe you're throwing here, but I will say the Deco is like one of the sleeper great guitar pedals of the last 10 years, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't have one, would love one. However, I do use the tape saturator and double tracker and Helix all the time because it just gives you this extra little crispy, crunchy boost if you want. Yeah. It gives you a little extra motion, a little bit of flange, a little bit of, and it's just like a touch. It's just the littlest, subtlest thing. And it's not very effecty. It's just mojo. So Strymon, being Strymon, has put this in a plugin for $79.
Okay.
I mean, the deck was like $400.
Right. And Strymon does have I don't know how to.
$379 for the Deco V2. Yeah,
it's such a, there's sort of, I don't know. I'm feeling very circular about all this, obviously, like, cause I was talking about it's based on a, and that shouldn't. Okay. So on its face, okay. So the plugin looks like I'm fucking sputtering here, dude. I wasn't ready. The plugin interface looks like the pedal interface.
A little bit, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, it doesn't have a foot switch. They didn't go totally skeuomorphic and all these buttons aren't or there. Whatever. Yeah, that's right, right. They've sort of surfaced some of the hidden controls.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Is there something else I should look at here? No, that's just a bunch
tape,
of
tape. I mean, they're like tapes stuff. The first effect, you know, which is not really true, I guess. But is it? It's reverb, tremolo, whatever. Yeah. I think this is good. I understand your frustration that it's like the trail, the breadcrumb trail for something like this is a little bit like, when does it stop? Like, when are we going to make like the Deco plugin 2 based on the Deco plugin, based on the pedal, based on the tape machine? Like, how far back do we go? But
there's that, like, there is the sort of like the breadcrumb trail, like you're saying, but also the destination that that breadcrumb trail leads to is something where there's already like at least a dozen plugins that are this.
Oh yeah. Right.
You know, in some form or another. Now they're right. Tape saturation, especially, but even like I have one that is definitely, it's like a double tracker kind of situation. It's like this, like a randomized or LFO based tape double track simulator modulator thing. Because that's a handy effect to have.
Right.
And doing it in this way usually sounds the coolest. Although I bounce back and forth, I use the a model of that that rack unit, the Dimension D.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so plug in models of that, which is a particular kind of chorus that tends to create. As long as you're going for like a subtle double track effect, that's probably the one to go to. And then something that's like tape like this is a little bit more severe. Or intense,
like more wow and flutter,
right? And you can even stretch
it's more
them
randomized.
Yeah, yeah, and you can stretch it to where it really sounds like out of time, C-sick, swirly stuff. Yeah, if you really want to, they're not all combined with a tape saturator, but tape saturators are ubiquitous, right? Or just right. Saturation in general, which I also use a ton of, and on guitars. But where it leaves me is like, it is, oh God, it's this thing that when we decided what we're going to talk about, this is this, it's this whole giant capitalistic thing of, it's like, does every company have to make every kind of thing? Does everyone have to come up with a, you know?
I don't think that's what Strymon's doing here. I mean, getting into the plugin space is a bit of a thing. Like, how many reverb plugins are there, you know? Like, and Strymon, as the kings of this space, of this, like, modulation and time-based effect space, it does make sense for them to want to be in the plugin market, I think.
Especially as a guitarist who doesn't... Right, as sounds and amps go more digital,
As a guitarist who does not do extensive home recording, I don't use any plugins or anything like that. I just roll it out of Helix and into my interface and then send it to Justin. But I think if I wanted something like, if I wanted to like start dabbling with this, I see Strymon, a trusted brand, right? One check in the box. The Deco, a very cool pedal that I would love to have someday, but is cost prohibitive. It's $79. As a 7-day free trial. Like, there's these things checking boxes for me as someone who's in my shoes. But of course, that's not the entire marketplace. So I get what you're saying.
Is digital pedals, right? Like,
there's
stuff. So this is,
they're just
no
like
reason,
the best at it. So, like, you know.
But there's no reason that this plugin isn't literally the software that's on a Deco.
Of course.
But it costs almost $400 when you get it in hardware form.
Yes.
And in software form, it costs $79 because there's nothing to manufacture. And there's no, I mean, who sets that value? You know, from a certain perspective, I'm almost surprised that is that low. Like, I wonder if that's an introductory price or something. But
maybe.
Sometimes plugins are a lot more than that. Sometimes they're cheaper. So I'm impressed with Strymon on that regard because they are like a I don't know if you call it a luxury brand, but they're like a prestige brand or something like that, you know?
I think that's fair.
Do you agree?
I would call them maybe a luxury brand.
Okay.
Among this stuff.
Yeah.
The other one being probably Source Audio, but I think Strymon's a bit of a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be true to everybody. That's just how it feels to me. But I don't know. I think when I bought my Timeline, I was talking to a friend of mine who has one, and I was like, so what's, give me the sell. What's the deal with this? And he said, oh, it's the best delay pedal ever. I asked if there were any drawbacks, and he said, yeah, there's a huge drawback. You don't get to buy any more delay pedals.
Because it's the one.
It's the one. Or
because you spent too much money.
No, because it's the one.
It's it.
And it has all these sounds on deck. Yeah. And like it has, and I've kind of been thinking a little bit, like I don't use the timeline at the moment to its like fullest potential. And I've thought, well, if I had to get another, if I wanted a smaller delay pedal to take up less room on my board, I'd probably get the LCAP from Strymon because it is like the predecessor to Timeline. And those sounds uh-huh. that I use all the time are in that too. And it takes up less room. So, you know, tangent, I guess, but I just think I don't hate this, but I see what you're saying, that like tape saturation as a plugin in the field is like, really, this is the one you started with instead of like, what's next, compressors, you know, do something that Strymon has like the grip on in the space, maybe.
Well, actually, I mean, now that you mention it, this does almost serve to highlight that they didn't, that there isn't a Big Sky and a Timeline plugin right there next to it.
Yeah.
Or is there? Do I just need to click on the products tab and I'll find it?
I don't think there's not okay.
So this is the first one.
There is a Big Sky. There is a Big Sky plugin.
Oh, okay.
So those are the two. And the plugin, the Big Sky is 200. But the Big Sky Reverb is almost $500, like the hardware unit.
Yeah, there's a lot more going on there.
Now, here's the sleeper pro move, right? Here's what you do. You buy the hardware version of the Deco and just run your, hook it up to your interface. Just run shit out and back in again.
If you have the hardware for these, you don't need this. Like they could even, you know what they could do? They could include a software license if you buy the pedal.
That would be killer.
That would be a classy fucking move, wouldn't it? And be like, sure. I mean, you have the hardware. You could run your signal out through it and use it
with
your
recording interface. Yeah.
But let's just, you know what? Here you go. Because you did already pay for this software plus hardware to run it on, right? So they could do that. That would be a classy move.
That would be a super classy move. Strymon, you can take that idea for free.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. Slightly equate it to what UAD does, because now they have native versions of a lot of their plugins coming up with more and more all the time. So you don't need their DSP hardware to run it. But if you own the DSP version of a plugin that has a native version, then you own the native version. Like you have a perpetual license for that just added to your account. The hardware, the DSP plugins still cost more.
Yeah.
And you can buy the native plugins on subscription. You could just buy the whole catalog for like $30 a month or whatever, which is a great deal depending on your perspective. But like, but that's what they're doing. So like I suddenly had a bunch of native CPU based versions of the plugins that they've made so far that are matches for the ones I own, you know?
Yeah. And Mike in the chat is pointing out that when he bought his HX Stomp, he got a big discount on Helix Native. And I forgot that. Like Line 6 does that. You can get.
So like free, I think, or heavily discounted. Yeah.
I think Native is like $399. Helix Native is $400 or so. And I think you can get it for $50 if you buy a Helix. There you go.
That's practically free. That's practically the same thing.
And I'll be honest,
because you did pay for it, you know?
Yeah. When I that deal, I don't think was running when I got my Stomp and I bought my Helix used. So, I didn't get that deal, but there's been plenty of times when I just want to plug in and pull it up in Logic instead of like getting my pedal board and plugging all that shit in. Yeah. So yeah, you know,
at the point where there's no difference. So this is different. This is different from just a plugin that's a model of some hardware. This is literally the software. There's no reason that this is not literally the same sound that's inside the pedal, because you're talking about a project that was digital to begin with. And, you know, likewise with Helix, because technically, I mean, even though those are models of guitar amps, but that's not what's happening right there. You know what I mean? It's in software by the time it's on Helix anyway. So
now, meanwhile, if this is somehow different than the pedal version, that's wrong. Like, that's, they shouldn't do that.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, are we entertaining that possibility? Because that's not.
I think it'd be insane if it was.
It would be crazy.
Yeah.
It would be crazy. I think it's been a long time from the days of like when software might not sound the same. Like I can remember these things coming up where with DAWs we're getting like an offline bounce. This is like a long time ago, right? Where you didn't have to wait for the whole song to play in real time. This goes back to like original Pro Tools. You know, that's what you had to do. It was just like a tape machine. If you were going to do your mix down, you had to listen to it while it played through in real time. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon softwares were coming along where they were like, well, why are we doing that? There's no need to do that. But yeah, Pro Tools like you're had saying, some because dependencies. It's, so they were still doing it.
Digital product to begin with.
Sure. So,
it'd be silly of them not to, like, why would they change it now?
Yeah, but there were some arguments at the time about like thinking that it might sound different. Like they might not have written it correctly and it might actually do a different thing in offline mode. And it took a little bit of smart experimentation to actually just null test them and find that they were exactly the same. So where do we go from here? So I'm deciding I don't have a problem with this. I thought it was kind of weird, but it's not really. Now that I've like chewed my way through it, what is this business at the top with normal and studio? Is throw the plugin into two different modes somehow?
Oh, I guess so. Maybe normal act behaves more like the guitar pedal. I bet you it's on this page if you scroll down, Professor Justin.
I bet it probably is. Features. Skipping to features. Simple interface, unique. I'm skimming. I'm trying to do this quickly.
Yeah.
Studio mode.
Normal mode has a little picture of a guitar amp.
Oh,
studio
okay.
mode has a picture of a monitor.
So it kind of changes the level calibration a little bit. So it says studio mode has 10 dB of additional headroom, which is the default setting for the plugin. So technically, it's slightly differently calibrated when in studio mode. That's not a big deal.
Okay.
But probably a useful feature.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with it. You know what? I'm fine with it. Oh no. Oh. I think the Discord just crashed on me.
Just left.
We're going to.
Oh shit.
Oh, it's restarting.
Well, that's no good. He's back.
Let's see if it just jumps back in.
I don't hear or see him though.
And have I come back?
Now I hear you. I don't see you.
Yeah, my Discord just like straight up rebooted.
Oh, okay. Well, bye. Welcome back.
Yeah. let me just.
That was exciting.
That was wild. And we're back. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like talking and then Discord was like, you know what? All windows bye. Are gray now.
see you later.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all fine and good.
So I added that to the show notes specifically because it's one, it's new and I like Strymon stuff and I think it was a cool ad and because, because of what you messaged me earlier today about people putting studio stuff into not studio
situations.
In situations, I guess that's more accurate.
So it's funny that to start with the Strymon Deco thing because should I punctuate this with the sound or something? Are we doing a different topic now? Why not? All right.
Fabulous.
Wondrous, wondrous. That is.
The lollygagger. The canaglia. No, the canalia.
Canalia. I can never say it. I can never, ever say it. Sean. It's Sean's pedal. Anyway.
It is.
Canalia. Canalia.
Canalia.
Canalia. Oh, the capitals means that. Okay, Canalia. Canalia. Yeah. Okay. Canalia.
I honestly don't know what that means. Sean, if you're listening, if you could like throw in, hop yeah. in the chat one day and just be like, here's what it means, losers. I would love to know.
you dummies. Okay. So the other half of this, and it is funny that the Strymon eventually turning into a plugin is sort of the reciprocal of this almost, right? But mm-hmm. So I saw again another post like UAD releasing another batch of their guitar pedals. So mm-hmm. now they're up to like 9 or 12 or something. And one of them is, of course, a compressor pedal that is, of course, an 1176 in a pedal. Because it's yeah. Universal Audio, and they own the IP for the 1176 and the LA-2A, by the way, and a okay. bunch of old, like, classic gear, studio gear. But
here it is. Let me grab a link.
But what freaks me out... Yeah, I should have pulled that up earlier.
That's all right.
It strikes me as so weird, though, and this went to the wrong window, so I'm going to put it over there. Okay, so this is the, here it is. So here's the 1176 studio compressor pedal. It's not that that like it's wouldn't even in the work. Name. it's not that this doesn't work as a guitar pedal, I guess. It's just that like, why is this appropriate for, like, this was designed to be used on signals that run through microphones, signals that have already come out of a guitar amp, if you're going to use it on a guitar, or a mic'd acoustic guitar, a mic'd vocal, bass guitars. Drums. These are things that we use the 1176 with. It doesn't ever go in its inception. Like it did not become a famous compressor design in front of a guitar amp. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It didn't
it's not
become a famous
be
compressor.
There.
Yeah, it didn't become the how we know it because it got put before the source. Right, and if we're talking about yeah. the guitar amp as the source here,
and specifically so, compressor pedals, like specific like guitar pedals in general are a whole thing, right? But specifically compressors are different. They're not made the same way a studio compressor is. They're done differently, and it's because they're expecting to be hit with a guitar level sound. So this has to be recalibrated. You know, I'm sure it works generally the same. It'll be a FET compressor with, you know, it.
Yeah.
What makes an 1176 what it is it's the transformers that are in the output stage, and it's a FET compressor, so it's fairly fast. It was considered extremely fast at the time. Nowadays, you know, there are faster things, but it's pretty fast. And then the way it works was the thing, because you have these two big knobs for input and output, and the threshold was fixed. So you would two-hand this thing, and as you're finding your sound, you're turning them inverse to each other. You're turning mm-hmm. up the input and down the output, or vice versa, to get your signal to hit the threshold where you want it to hit, but stay the same level on the other side. And then it has the attack and release timing knobs that are backwards, quote unquote. Basically, for the higher you turn them up, the faster the attack, usually, or
it's
release.
The other way.
Usually
more
on
attack.
Compressors, they just describe it in time. So you turn it down for the shortest amount of time. That's not how it works with this. But those are just quirks of the way that the panel was laid out, basically. Mm-hmm.
So
why is it in a guitar?
So why a guitar pedal? Yeah. yeah. And I wonder, when I think of guitar compressor pedals, I always think of the Dynacomp just because it's a very simple pedal and it's a timeless guitar compressor design. And it's, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm still not the most well-versed in compressors, especially studio style compressors. But guitar pedal compressors.
I noticed you said studio style because it's a totally different style.
yeah. But I'm saying as the guitar pedal style of compressor tends to be a much more heavy-handed squish. Is that safe to say?
I think they can be subtle. Usually they have very few
Of course
few
they
controls.
Can, but I think that's why people don't use them for subtlety, I think, sometimes. Like you got this chicken picking thing. You've got to give it that like, slammed up, and again, the Dynacomp is what I'm basing this on, I guess. But I don't know. I don't think amps of studio compression. Yeah.
That's pickups the other thing compress. Is like,
I don't think of
all kinds of stuff in your guitar, from your guitar to your amp, all kinds of components in there compress already. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you're really going to add a compressor to that, you juice it, right? You kind of make it so you can really hear it kind of thing.
Really
you're
feel
going
it.
For and, something dramatic.
And also I think, you might be using a compressor for other things like evening out peaks and like evening out sounds between different guitars or something or whatever it might be. They give you some consistency. A lot of people use them as an always on. They're changing venues and stuff. I get it. It's still a studio compressor is still not really the thing for that because of the setting. It was in a studio. Like you're not on a stage needing the peaks to come down.
Yeah. And I'm,
right. So like you wouldn't have gone for this tool in the past.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I do think that, what I'm hearing you say is like, if you pick up a guitar compressor pedal, you are looking for something that's going to give that snap sound to the start of your note. It's less about the level control and more about the snap sound. I think there's that.
Well, for some it is. I'm just saying like, I think that's what guitar compressors do as like a...
As a default.
A thing that makes them like the thing about them, right? Like it's...
So, right. And so the other, I think, legitimate possibility that somebody might use a guitar compressor pedal for is almost the opposite. If you were actually trying to get level control out of it and you would need a totally different style compressor for that because the snap that comes from the Dynacomp, it has to do with the timings. It's fairly quick timings and it's letting just a little bit of that snap through and then it's clamping down after that. So I have a compressor pedal and it's an optical, which means the detector has a light in it and then a photo sensor. And it's the delay of that light beginning to glow with the sound that causes it to be slower to respond. So that's a feature of optical compressors. Some studio compressors were optical too. But that lag prevents that snap sound from really happening. So what you can get with it is a much more kind of slowed down an evening of your overall volume level. And so that would be something that you could use maybe to make your sustain go for days without adding more distortion gain. You know what I mean? So you could achieve different kind of sounds that way that last a super long time on notes, long ringing out notes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
so those are the two halves that I see.
Right. And so this is, I want to add to this that when I use my big Helix, the Helix Floor, I will sometimes, I used to anyway, I haven't lately, run a compressor at the end of everything before the output. And in most cases, it was the LA Studio Comp, which is the 1176.
Right.
I'm sorry, it was probably the LA2A now that I think
about
it.
That's LA2A, not 70. Yeah, which is a slower tube, you know, yes.
Right. But the point is like in the signal chain of the Helix, that's after the speaker.
Yeah.
It's after everything. And I wouldn't really use the LA Studio Comp in the signal, in the effects chain, so to speak.
Yeah.
So.
Right. It's not made to be used there. And the 1176 wasn't made to be used there. And I think it's weird to be putting them into pedal form.
I'm also one to say like, well, why can't you use it there? And which is why this pedal exists, but I don't, and stupid guitar tradition is one thing that we kind of argue about or argue against on the show all the time. It is a little, I see both sides in that sense of it's like, well, why can't I use the 1176 on my pedal board? And like, clearly you can now.
There was an LA2A pedal too. I remember it. It's not, whichever company made it, it's not coming to mind, but somebody made a copy of that kind of thing, I think, recently. And this isn't the first 1176 pedal I've seen either.
No.
It happens to be from actual Universal Audio, but like.
Yeah. Well, it's the newest one, and it's this line of pedals from them is more affordable, which I think is also the push.
Okay.
So their previous ones were more expensive by, I think, a pretty wide margin.
By a big jump.
Yeah, this one's $200.
I don't think that this, like, is going to sound bad.
No, of course not.
I have a weird reaction to the marketing because it strikes me as every company kind of has to be everywhere. And in a world mm-hmm. where I think Strymon has the good end of this stick because they have a good hardware situation and they're perfectly positioned to lift the software right off of those devices and put it into plug-in form right at a time yeah. when every, you know, a lot more things are moving into software. Mm-hmm. Great. The opposite is going on here where UA is like headstrong, owning a ton of software effect market, at least in my sectors. And then they're turning around and going, you know what? Let's take away some of that flexibility. Let's stick this before their guitar amps, you know? They're still taking all the stuff that they're taking their IPs and they're feeding them into this. I don't know. Is it bad or is it good? The marketing is weird because it keeps saying studio compressor. Like they're basically trying to tell you that this is better than other compressor pedals you're going to find on the market.
I was just going to say that. I think it's that you can bring that highly precise, that highly engineered studio sound onto your pedal board, which is why do you have a pedal board? It's because you've got, you know, gigs and stuff, which are inconsistent and unreliable sometimes. So like maybe this will give you like that studio quality, that like kind of top tier sound that only you can get in a studio in a very controlled environment.
It's being used to imply that it's better.
Yes.
And Strymon did not say the Big Sky was a studio whatever, did it? They just made the best reverb.
Yeah, it's like a reverb engine, they call it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't, right. I see what you're saying.
But it is. So that's the other thing is like Strymon isn't using that word, but it fucking is a studio quality. Because for one thing, what does that mean? Because there's beat up TS-808s in every studio. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's a studio quality effect? Because that's what this thing is going to be sitting next to if any studios buy it.
You know what I mean? Like there's a fucking, there's an SD-1 or a DOD-250 in the studio.
There's a Metal Zone.
Fucking right. Yeah. 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 So here's the thing. Anything is studio grade if you use it in the studio.
It is. And I don't get me wrong. I love high quality audio stuff, but I think I've outgrown. I mean, it makes perfect sense that I would not be swayed by somebody calling something studio quality, right? But like, but that is what they're trying to do, right? This is UAD trying to touch a market of people who don't know or use their stuff already because they haven't been studio rats. They have been guitarists up till now, right? And so they're going to say, well, this is a studio quality. And people would be like, oh, exactly. UAD, that's the company that makes that fucking badass rack thing. Look, they put it in pedal just for me, for little old me.
I was just going to say that, yeah. Mm. Like, right, it's the people who know that UAD is the real deal, who know the 1176 is like the real deal, right? It is a great compressor, but it's just the wrong format. But again, like I just said, the flip side of this coin is like, why not? Why can't you put it in a pedal and just put it on your board and say, fuck it? Because why not, right? The technology is there for us to allow that. In Helix, I can put my speaker cab first and then run it into my tube amp, which is fucking stupid. You shouldn't do that, but you can.
But you can. I just zoomed in on this picture because like I'm trying to think like what is bothering me so much about this 1176 in a pedal. They've put everything in here, including the ratios. So 4, 8, and 12, and 20. 4, 8, 12, and 20 to 1. Those are the possible ratios of an 1176. But you can also trick the radio buttons so that none of them are pushed in. If you do it just right, like physically, because they're radio buttons, right?
So like on the Dimension C.
Right, exactly. So you could always get these modes where none of those circuits were engaged. So it doesn't compress and you're just hearing the transformer output. And that becomes compression at a certain level, right? Because it still has a threshold point and stuff, which is kind of cool. And I've actually used that on drums before where it was basically like a soft clipper. Mm-hmm. And You can also trick it so all the buttons are in, so all four ratios are engaged at the same time, and they all have slightly different like threshold settings too, so it causes this craziness that is sort of cool. I kind of think that this thing probably didn't, I mean, when would I use the off thing on a guitar?
I guess if you just want to juice the outputs, right?
Yeah, like just if you want to just have a clipper on your guitar. I've never tried that.
But would you use a compressor for that if you just want clipping? No.
Well, because your guitar already has,
Have we just blown the lid off this thing?
Is it that we can do the ratio off 1176 trick to a guitar before it goes into like a triple rectifier? Have we just added the ultimate first clipping stage?
If that's the case, this shouldn't have any of the ratios on it, or something shouldn't have any of the ratios on it.
I don't see why you would ever use 8, 12, and 20 on your pedal. Like off, maybe. 4, definitely. 4 is where every 1176 is almost all the time. And then the all buttons in thing is like a wild effect that you could like try it on a drum loop. It's wild. And I don't know, this probably would sound really bad on a guitar. I don't know why that's on there, but like
accuracy.
But at that point you've put the switch on here. So why not put all the ratios, right? I mean, I don't fucking know. I don't know what to make of this, Derek. And then plus dual and sustain. What the hell does that mean? Do I have to read about this? God damn it. Angry.
It's also got buffered or true bypass.
And it doesn't have stereo in and out. So what are they telling me with single and dual and sustain?
And then there's parallel on and off.
Yeah, there's a switch on the back for parallel on and off. What the fuck does that mean? Put the most authentic emulation of the... So is this a software pedal? Is this a digital pedal? Hold on.
Oh my God.
Some of UA's other pedals were digital, but I just didn't even think about it with this one. It says it's an emulation. So wait, they literally own the IP for the hardware 1176, modeled it.
It says authentic emulation of the 1176 LN limiting amplifier.
And then took their model and put that shit in a digital pedal to take it out of the digital world.
Single, dual, and sustain modes for decades of classic guitar effects.
What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. Is it like the feed forward or feedback thing? This is like technical compressor circuit, detector circuit stuff that, why would they bother? Because it's software and it doesn't matter. That's why they would bother, is because it literally doesn't increase the cost of the device at all to put this crap in. Oh, so it's a software pedal. Oh man, we just got, we're like an hour into the fucking episode and it's like on its head again. What do I think about this? How much does this cost?
$200.
That's too much. I'm sorry.
You think so?
UAD. I mean, well, I don't know. Maybe not a lot. That's actually pretty middle of the road price for a damn metal box these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
A metal box device.
Ugh. Yeah. Not to mention whatever the cost of the other ones, the other.
Some of them were like $400 or something.
Yeah, $379. Like they were expensive and they were much larger too. These are, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see. The world's most famous Max preamp and dual compressor.
That's the one that has bits of 1176 and LA2A in it. That's the dual compressor.
Yeah.
You can like mix and match your flavors, but those are probably software.
It's $100 more.
Those are probably software too. There's no way they'd have, an accurate enough for UAD to call it accurate features stuffed into a tiny box.
Yeah, it says like right here, the most authentic software emulations. Yeah.
Yep. So it's on a chip.
Oh, it also has the Dynacomp in it. Well, there you go. You can buy this $300 Dynacomp.
Oh my God. So what I said to you this morning, basically, so if we could just encapsulate this whole thing, there's this weird... This is like an Ouroboros of capitalistic marketing, right? Like everybody is just churning and it's not just that every company has to make every sector of product. Like Orange has to make guitar pedals. So what do they do? Well, Orange spits out, well, here's our distortion, you know?
Well, fucking PRS is making compressors and dual flangers and overdrives named Horse Meat.
And then Strymon turns around and they're probably the best positioned of any of them and takes the thing and just pulls the software and makes it into software. That's just an evolution. But still, they're expanding, right? They're mm-hmm. starting to make plugins. Probably should in their case. And then UAD, oh my God, they're making hardware, but their hardware now isn't hardware. It's hardware of their software.
It's software boxes. Hardware. It's soft hardware.
So how much
it's not firmware, though.
It's not firmware. I mean, it has firmware.
Squishyware? Because it's a compressor?
Squishyware because it's yucky marketing gumbo. Is this because everybody has to have new products all the time? Because the thing about UAD
is...
They have all this ancient classic IP that they've been selling happily. Do they have to have something new to please stockholders? Do they have stock? I don't even know if they're publicly traded.
Probably not. I don't think it's because of that. However, I think it contributes to that.
Yeah.
I think if UA just sat back and kept selling what they're selling and kept, if they froze today, right? Or if they froze a year ago, let's say, and like stopped right before guitar pedals, which is probably more than a year ago now. But if they just did their thing and no new products kind of for a really, really, really long time, would they just fade away?
Well, but they could see they're in the business of making plugins though. And they keep doing that. Like every few months a new plugin comes out. It coincides with a few updates to their software layers for the and that's it. And they're selling their interface hardware, their studio hardware. They're still selling hardware units of 1176s and the different incantations they made of that.
The answer is no. They wouldn't just fade away.
Right.
So why make guitar pedals? Why put the 1176 software in a hardware box? And
this is innovation. That's the other thing that I'm just realizing. That's what's bothering me about this. The other pedal.
They talk about it like it is?
The dual compressor where it's highly simplified controls, but there's a few things in there you can choose. That makes way more sense to me as a guitar pedal.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not innovation. This one's just, well, we own this. Why haven't we sold this in a box?
Put a foot switch on it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not innovation.
Do you think it's because it's marketed as innovation? They're not explicitly being like, it's the first time ever, right? Do they say that anywhere? But I think
the world's most famous limiter on your pedal board is the tagline here.
I think that's just saying that like they can officially say it's the
because they're LA-2A, the official.
Or it's they are the owner. So this is the real one. So like all other 1176s are just trying to be this.
And that's why I just think I don't think that's what this is for. This was not a famous limiter that goes between guitars and amps. Mm-hmm. It's not famous for that. And therefore this is not that.
Yeah.
And I think it's silly.
Do you think it's bullshit?
I think it is silly.
It's a little bullshitty.
Yeah. Yeah, it is bullshitty.
Which sucks. I mean, again, I'm not here to tell anyone to stop making products and to stop like trying to put stuff out there, but at the same time it feels disingenuous a little bit. Like it feels kind of like don't push this out there in a way that's like we finally did it. It took until 2023 and we finally cracked it. We put the 1176 in a pedal. Also, and they're not really saying that. I get that.
Board, your Helix can do something like this, except where it was supposed to be after the amp and the mic.
After everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And the EQ probably because and there's channel EQ on the mic. You know what I mean? Like, Okay.
He's feeling spicy, guys. Should we get out of here?
Yeah, the thing is, like, I'm not even totally convincing myself. This is the other thing. Like, this whole circle that's going on, like, I'm pretty sure, let me put it this way. I am pretty sure this is not innovation. But Every time I really, I'm ready to double down on my conviction. The bottom line is, if you did use the 1176 as a guitar pedal, it would probably sound good.
Yeah, and they know that.
The best compressor.
And that right there is why it's in a pedal. Because, like, why not just put it on fucking everything?
It doesn't fucking need to be there, but I bet if I tried it, I would be like, well, it fucking works.
Well, shit, of course it sounds good.
Because I've never put an 1176 on something and said, like, well, this
is better without it.
If it's better without it, it's better without compression. That's the thing. Like, if you can't, and sometimes there's something else you want that some other compressor can do. But, like, if you're trying to, like, the 1176 is good at compression that you can hear. Mm-hmm. The snap kind of compression. So, and that's a fucking staple of music in the last 30, 40 years. Like, it's just gotten more and more popular. So, mm-hmm. And that works on guitars. If you want that sound, that you could probably achieve with this just fine. You can also achieve it with a Dynacomp, though, and be fucking done with it. So that's okay. So I talked myself back into it. Yeah. So this is not innovation. You know what you can do with this pedal? You can, if you set it right, you can sound like a Dynacomp. And it will be good on your guitar as a Dynacomp type sound if you set it right. And you can also set this compressor wrong and it won't sound like that. That's what you're buying into with this studio.
You heard it here, folks. It's a bougie Dynacomp.
It's a bougie Dynacomp that with giving you the freedom to fuck up. If you so choose.
Yeah, can you fuck up a Dynacomp?
I don't know. Probably turn it too far, I guess. But you really, like, what are you doing? You're finding the setting that works for how loud your guitar is.
Yeah.
If you have a lower output guitar, you're going to turn that knob a little further and then until it sounds good up. And you're going to stop, right? Like,
okay.
All right. That's it. So, you know what? We've been thinking about some stuff. So, a couple of things, a couple of housekeeping, podcast housekeeping, podkeeping.
Hit me with a sound.
Podkeeping. All right. No, we're going to hit. Why not? Why not? Which sound? What's down here? What's this one?
That feels like a Justin demo.
I think that was a me demo. The Architect from Matthews.
Oh, cool.
I don't think I played that one in a little bit. So, okay, so some housekeeping. We are defo picking the winner of the giveaway 2 days after this episode comes out. So, I mean,
which is September 20th.
September 20th is the official date. It is a Wednesday. If you are listening to this episode on or before September 20th, there might be still time. Get there.
Go sign up for the newsletter. Yeah. Link in the show notes. Link in bios. Link in everywhere. So link in get on the newsletter. All. It's linked and everywhere.
When the guitar plus not, this stuff.
When the guitar plus, the whiteout, the kingpin, the flashlight, a pair of cables, and a pack of Stringjoy strings.
I have this nightmare where, like, a few days afterwards, somebody's be like, oh man, I wish I signed up for that. Like, this is, you know what I mean?
You did too.
There will be nothing I can do at that point. So sign up.
It's going to be in the mail.
This is all because, so the podcast is 10 years old.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So what else are we talking about? We were talking about things like, are we due for some kind of slight format change? I actually think we've been doing okay with, like, our more discussion based stuff.
I think so too.
So,
I don't think the show content really needs to change, but I think we're talking about the other details of the
show. Right. So format is good. Well, I appreciate you. It's not like I think the format needs to change, but, you know, we're basically kind of doing this as a live show. But there aren't that, I think a lot of, you know, people don't have that big an opportunity to come in here. And I don't know, when we set up the Patreon, it has to be almost a couple years ago.
Yeah. It was, I think, closer to three.
Yeah. We really felt like we needed to like add perks to being a supporter.
That's what Patreon does. Like
that's what it does. Yeah. And I think that's sometimes true, but it's also like culturally, I think the whole like being a supporter of a production like this has a little bit of evolved. And I think there's a lot of people who just kind of feel like it's like a tip jar kind of situation and they really don't care that much. And I felt like we've struggled. I don't know if I haven't used that word with you, Derek, yet, but like, I felt like we've struggled to think of things that then people turned out to actually use. Like there's been several things that we've gone through, and I used to do this and we'd try to make this extra content and find that nobody was watching it. And so I stopped doing it. And like, so, you know, what do we think about
that? I think we had a lot of stuff for patrons, and we're still very happy to do that stuff. Let me put this first. Yeah. I'm still happy to make all that content and stuff, but we have the numbers on that stuff, and we know that nobody was really going out of their way to find it, which is totally fine.
People were still supporting. They just weren't still reaping supporting the benefits of that.
Yeah, and not really consuming. And we know like the main perk is coming in to listen to the show live on Monday nights, but that schedule doesn't work for everybody, obviously, so not everybody can be here. Understood. However, I don't know. We've talked about every now and then we do the show in general to see if anybody else wants to hop in. That's fun. We'll actually be doing that again when we do the giveaway stuff.
Right.
But it's, I don't know, tough to see that folks don't want to consume their extra content. But at the same time, if they don't want to, I'm not going to stop them. And if they want to support because they just like what we do and they want to support, even more appreciation.
That's kind of how I take it too. It's like, it's not that people are like, oh, I don't care about that. It's like, no, I was supporting you to support you.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Like that's not the big deal. So
when we started the Patreon, I got some messages from people that were like, oh my God, finally. And not because of the perks. And it was because they're like, oh, I've been wanting to support you guys for the longest time. And some people had mentioned it here in passing over the years and stuff. And we finally set it up once we made the switch to Discord all that time ago. But I think, I don't know. I also don't want to take anything away from someone who does really enjoy the exclusivity. So this is just something we're thinking about. Yeah. So reach out, tell us wherever, whether it's via Patreon, in the Discord, over email, wherever works for you. Get in touch and tell us like what you're feeling about all this stuff. Cause we're not going to turn off Patreon. Like that'd be ridiculous.
No.
But we also want to make it worth your time and worth your money and worth your while. But if you don't care about that, then you don't care about that. And
I understand. A select handful of people that are basically practically the only perk that's still happening, is that we record live in this channel. So it doesn't bother me if, put it this way, if more people could come and just be in the chat live
and just hanging out, patron or otherwise.
So if we just opened that up and it was just something that we did, we just record live in Discord whenever we record the episode. It has nothing to do with, so if you can be here, if you can hear the sound of my voice and you can be there, you can be there. And don't have to be a supporter. Call for feedback.
Early stages.
Would you be able to come and would you enjoy that?
Mike says the more the merrier.
And, right. And supporters, if that would sort of piss you off, I do want to know that.
I do want to know that. And that's a very perfectly valid response.
Right. Like, and we're not going to give you a hard time if that's how you feel.
No. I want you to totally feel okay saying that because I don't want to take anything away from the money you're spending, basically. So, it's only a couple of bucks a month, but you're still giving us your money voluntarily.
I would like to know because the passive feedback, as we say, the only feedback we had really on it was pretty much just the passive feedback of the extra stuff we were sort of putting together once in a while wasn't really getting viewed. So it seems like people don't care. And very few people, it's a narrow thing. It's like a 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, maybe every 2 weeks on a Monday night. You know what I mean? Maybe not many people can come anyway. So anyway, let us know your feedback. I would like to know.
Yeah, share us a message wherever.
We may just. I'm inclined, unless you know, I'm inclined to just open it up, unless for some reason there's a big problem with that.
Come back. Oh, here he is. Okay.
All right, we're back. We're back. Yeah, I'm personally, I'm inclined to just say like we're just going to go unrestricted with the recording because I think from the look of the way it's been going, I don't think it'll affect very much.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I would like that feedback.
Give us a shout.
Yeah. All right.
Ready to thing of the week this thing?
Yeah, you want a thing of the week? Let's thing of the week. Which one haven't I done? This one. Supermoon. All right. It's not really spelled like that, but I don't care.
My Google Drive says trying to connect. That's very reassuring.
Well, no wonder we can't get the video feed going. All right.
I know, right? Jeez. Do you got a thing?
Nope.
I'm looking up on my phone.
Looking around. What have I done or used that was interesting lately? I don't know. Not really.
I have a thing. It's a music thing.
Okay.
The album Suburban Legend by Dury, D-U-R-R-Y. And Dury is a brother and sister music project that sprung up during COVID. And they've just put out their first album. And it's a lot of fun. It's alternative sort of pop rock. It can kind of only describe the lyrical content as like jaded millennial shared trauma. Like it just feels like, you know what I mean? Like they're talking about like there's a little nostalgia tilt to it, but there's just this like, I don't want to work. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to. There's a little bit of like conforming to society. There's some of that, but it's also just very relatable, honest, real feeling stuff. And it's hooky. It's punky. It's really fun. So Suburban Legend from Dury. I have the vinyl on pre-order. It should be here soon. It's really good. It's really good. They're a 4-piece band. And I think it's like, it's a brother and sister. And I think they're husbands and wives. It's like this whole family project thing, or one of them is a wife. I'm not sure. But I'm having trouble getting to their website. But if you pull up the Dury site, you can see all their mm-hmm. cool merch and stuff that they have. There's like, you know, the Losers Club is what their fans are called. And they put out a cassette because cassettes are coming back into style, apparently.
I hate that.
But I hate it too. But their cassette case is a 3D printed N64 cartridge with the album art on it. But it's like a N64 style render of the artwork.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, it's really fun. It's a really cool record and it's good. Like sing along top of your lungs with the windows down kind of stuff. So I'm going to text it to Justin right friggin' now.
Do it. Oh, you know what? The last thing you texted me to that 2-8 the Hero single.
Yeah.
I was like sitting on the couch, wife sitting there next to me. Derek just texted me, 2-8 the Hero put out a single. What is this? And I'm listening to it and I'm like, because I hadn't heard of that song before. So
oh,
I was
are
like,
you kidding me?
No, I didn't know what it was.
Oh, man.
So I'm listening to what Derek's, what Jared's singing. And it's like, hold on.
This is really not their style.
So I like Google in, I'm like, this is not. And I find, so yeah, it's like Phil Collins and somebody else. Song.
And Philip Bailey. Yeah. So they cover 2-8 the Hero. That's an additional pick. 2-8 the Hero just dropped a cover of Easy Lover.
Yeah.
By the Phils. And I was messaging with Jack
into
the other day.
2-8 the Hero song, the way, the way a cover,
so much ass.
One of the great ways that a cover can be, it's really kick ass. It's great.
I was texting with Jack from 2-8 the Hero the other day and I was like, this feels really deep. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And he said, they are definitely playing it in drop C.
Yeah.
So super cool. Awesome. Super cool.
Okay. You know what? I came up with a pick. So this is a show that we're partway through right now. So Daisy Jones and the Six. It is a show. I think it is on Amazon Prime. I'm fairly certain that it's an Amazon production, but it's a drama that is sort of a faux documentary. It's not a joke though, but it's almost like a behind the music documentary style thing. So, but it follows this band that becomes sort of like the biggest band in the world kind of thing from where they are at their start. And it's kind of modeled after Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
As far as like the band composition, and I think there's some historical things, but they're taking a lot of liberties with it and stuff like that.
Sure.
They're not naming, you know, the characters have their own names and stuff like that, but
sort of inspired by.
Right. Like Daisy Jones is kind of, you know, she's got the capey scarfy things and she's, you know what I mean? She's kind of going
definitely
with her
not
hands
Stevie Nicks. Yeah.
A little, she's a little Stevie Nicks in it a little bit. You know what I mean? Anyway, it's really, really cool. There's a couple of famous actors in it. There's a lot of everything about it has been really great. But we've got sort of various ages of all the characters, right? Like, so we've got these documentary cutaways of them now in their like 40s, 50s, and then we've got the like main time period that the show is happening in, where they like get kind of they start to make it and so on. And all the tribulations that go along with that. And then, but then we've got them when they're younger, you know, when they're in high school and they're kind of,
so you got
sometimes
two
they're aging the actors a little bit with makeup and some, and clothes and hairstyles. And sometimes it's actually like a child doing the young version of them kind of thing. And,
that's
really,
cool.
It's been really cool. So we're 4 or 5 episodes in right now. I think it's really cool. It's, check it out.
I like when stories tell you the story from two ends of the time spectrum kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
And you don't meet in the middle necessarily, but you learn the story as both narratives meet in the middle.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool. Exactly. And so it's not heavy handed with the documentary stuff, all of the present day. So it's basically told like the viewer is a little bit omniscient. So we're seeing them and knowing about their feelings, but then we have these little like 15, 20 second cutaways of them being interviewed for the documentary as the older version of themselves, basically making like a little one-liner comment about whatever just happened. You know what I mean?
Interesting. That's cool.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty neat. So anyway, it's on, I'm certain it's on Amazon.
Prime, yeah.
Yeah. So
cool.
Comes free with Prime, as they say. Okay. Do it. Check it out. All right. What's up? What's now? Patreons? Yeah.
Yeah. We're done.
We're done. That's it. Thanks to the patrons for making this giveaway possible. Thanks everybody who's been listening for, you know, 10 years.
10 years. Oh my God. If anybody has been listening for 10 years, can you reach out?
Yeah.
I would love to send you like a koozie
or
just like
a bunch of picks. What
shake
else
your
got?
Hand
stickers?
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Also, if you've been listening for 10 years, like, get a life.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one sad enough to be doing this.
I know, right? I'm so tired of us.
All right. Well, all the usual places. So sign up to the newsletter is links in the show notes. And Patreon and Discord links are also there. If for some reason you're not a part of that yet, you should really get on board. Support the show if you want to. Et cetera, et cetera. And give us that feedback, supporters and non-supporters. Tell us
what
you like. And if you would be able to, if you would like to and be able to be here live when we record and you just haven't been because your
connection's really struggling today.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm just going to keep going.
You know what it is? I got to comment on it and then, then you come back.
Then
you
come back.
I saying something about
That's
it way sooner.
That's how long it takes. yes. Give us feedback if you're a supporter or if you're not. And if you haven't been here watching live with us because you haven't been able to support or haven't wanted to, I don't care. Like, I'm not giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
But if you would like to be here and you haven't been, tell us. Because we think that's fun. And we basically do it as a live show anyway. So that's it, right?
Ready to roll?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the button that I push? It is this button that I push. So thanks, patron supporters, who are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Risen Wolf, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, the Deco Man, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effect. Sean, what is a connect?
Sean, how do you say canalia?
How do you say it? No, I think we worked out how to say it. What is a canalia? Sean, what's a canalia? And with that, we'll see you next week for a big old giveaway.
See you next time. Please. Hope you win.